Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today we come to the topic of baptism. As I think about baptism, it should be a basic, simple, foundational thing within the Christian church today, and yet it isn't. It's something that has become very controversial with the method by which people baptize, when people are baptized, what's going on in baptism. All of these things are taught in many and various different ways within the Christian church today. Therefore, I want to try to sort that out. We have to be careful when it comes to God's holy word. Are we going to believe what makes sense to us, or are we going to take the Bible according to what it says and believe it, even though we can't quite understand it, or even though it doesn't quite fit with common sense? Let's always know that even when we can't quite figure something out, God is able to do it. God is the Almighty God. What I'm planning to do is start off the topic today. Actually, in your service folder, I gave you all 17 of the questions that I'm planning to address today and in the next couple weeks. So today we're going to look at questions 1 through 8 today, and then we'll pick up where we left off next week. Getting into this topic, though, I want to state the questions and then go to the answers, and the answers are all tied to the Bible. So let me say something on the Bible before we get into the topic of baptism itself. So first question, what is the Bible? Well, let's understand it is God's very word to us. Yes, it's true that men wrote it down, and some people want to say, oh, men wrote it down and therefore it can't be reliable. But what happened, though? Yes, men wrote it down as God moved them to write it down. Here's a couple key verses. First of all, in 2 Timothy 3, it says, all scripture is God-breathed. What does that mean? The words we have in the Bible have come right out of the mouth of the Almighty God. So those words have been written down for our benefit. We can take them as if God wrote them down himself. Now, when I say that, God didn't write in English. Of course, the Old Testament being inspired in Hebrew, a little bit of Aramaic, and then the New Testament in Greek. But if we're using a very careful English translation, we have a very close and accurate account of what came out of the very mouth of God. And then thinking about how it happened, it tells us here in 2 Peter chapter 1, men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So the word spirit in Greek is pneumatos. We can translate spirit or we can translate wind. The Holy Spirit is like a holy wind. You think about wind moving a sailboat. The Holy Spirit is a holy wind moving these men to write down the very words of God. God wants us to be so confident in the Bible. If you're not quite sure yet, I want to refer you to the brochure I did last year called The Bible is True. You can find a copy of it in the brochure rack by our main entrance, and you can also go on our website and hear the 2 or 3 part sermon I did on that particular brochure. Well, getting into the topic of baptism then, we come to the first question related to baptism. How were people saved in the Old Testament? What I want to do here is divide the Old Testament up into 2 parts. So thinking about the 4,000 years, let's divide it up into a 2,000-year period and then a second 2,000-year period. So first of all, from the fall when Adam and Eve fell into sin to the time of Abraham. So that's about 2,000 years. Keep in mind that on the very day that Adam and Eve fell into sin, God told the devil that a future descendant of the woman would come, and God said to the devil, he shall bruise you on the head. So that's pointing to the work of Jesus to crush the head of Satan. And when did he do that? He did it when he died on the cross on Good Friday. So on the very day they fell into sin, with what God said to the devil, that was pointing to the work that Jesus would do to take away our sins. And then once that promise had been made, what was going on then during that first 2,000 years? The Holy Spirit was working in conjunction with the promise that God had made to lead people to repent and to believe in the Savior who would eventually come and who would take away the sin of the world. And then we jump ahead to the time from Abraham to Jesus. So God said to Abraham, "You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you." So now for that second 2,000 years of the Old Testament, we have circumcision. So Abraham, he was circumcised. Many males after him were circumcised. And what can we say about circumcision? That was a visible sign on the body of each male. So a visible sign and a visible reminder that in time, according to God's perfect timing, he would send his son who would take away the sin of the world. So God was calling everyone to realize they are sinners, to be sorry for their sins, and to look ahead to the coming of the Savior. Now, did very many people do that? Not really. Many people kind of went off and did their own thing. Is that what the world is today? Somewhat that way too, but God wants us to know he had it all figured out, and he wants everyone to understand the reality of sin, to know it's taken care of in the Christ. And then in this series, I want you to see how baptism is such a key part of our salvation. Let's go on to the next question here, number three. What does baptize mean? Well, the Greek word baptizo has a number of different meanings, but they're all related. Baptizo means to dip, immerse, sink, drown, bathe, wash. So in a sense, like I said to the children, to baptize is simply to wash with water. But what about Christian baptism, though? Well, Christian baptism, this is a good verse here to take a look at Christian baptism in Acts chapter 2. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, "Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." Why? For the forgiveness of your sins. Now, that verse is so important. It's giving us a very important teaching here, in that baptism isn't just baptism washing with water, but it is done in the name of God, and it is done for the purpose of the forgiveness of sins. So many in the Christian church today, they would say that baptism has no power, but yet I have no ability to get rid of my sins. You have no ability to do that. So if in baptism the problem of sin is being taken care of, that should point so obviously to the fact that the Almighty God is at work through baptism in order to do that. I'm going to touch on that more in the sermon next week, but let me suffice by saying that for now. So that's a little bit on the meaning of baptism. And then question four, why did baptism begin? Well, think about what Isaiah prophesied about John. Now, John was such an important person. So John, Jesus said, was the most important of all the prophets. And then Isaiah, he prophesied about John. So Isaiah wrote, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord." So to put it this way, John the Baptizer was sent to prepare people's hearts to receive the coming Savior. So think about it. The Savior is just about ready to come on the scene, So God sends John the Baptizer in order to make the preparation. Well, I mentioned earlier about the prelude. So during the prelude, that's our opportunity then to be able to prepare our hearts and minds to receive God's gifts through word and sacrament. So John the Baptizer, he was sent to prepare people's hearts to receive the Savior when he came. So that gets at the topic of why God began baptism. Now, there was all kinds of different washings in the Old Testament, but not baptism per se, not baptism with water in the name of God for the forgiveness of sins. That is beginning with John the Baptizer. And then, when did baptism begin? Well, it began 6 months before Jesus began his ministry. It tells us here in Luke chapter 3, John the Baptizer came into all the district around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. See, again, in that verse, it's connecting baptism with forgiveness. Such important connections. When we think about the 6 months, why the 6 months? Well, here is John growing up. God has sent him special. You know about his miraculous birth with his parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Such an interesting account. So God has sent him special. When he turns 30 years old, God calls upon John to begin baptizing now out in the wilderness. So John is out there preaching. John is calling the people to repent. And when people are confessing their sins, John is baptizing them for the forgiveness of sins. What about Jesus? We know from the Bible that Jesus was 6 months younger than John. Remember how Elizabeth was pregnant with John and Mary is having the conversation with her, and we know there was 6 months difference. So now when Jesus becomes 30, that is when he goes to John to be baptized by him. We're going to come to the question here, why was Jesus baptized in a moment? But when we think about Jesus going to John, that was the beginning of his ministry because Jesus is baptized there by John. And then as soon as he's baptized, what happens? He steps out of the Jordan River. That is when the Holy Spirit came down upon him. That's when God the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son." But what was going on there with the Holy Spirit coming down and all of that? God the Father, he was anointing his Son to be the Christ, to be the Messiah, to be the anointed one. Think about how God called Samuel to anoint, first of all, Saul, and then later, David, to be the king. So Samuel went to them. He poured oil on their heads in order to anoint them and to put them into the position of becoming the next king. What was God the Father doing? Well, it's interesting in the Bible that the Holy Spirit is referred to in the Bible as the oil of joy. So God the Father was putting the oil of joy upon his Son, anointing him to be the Messiah, to be the Christ, to officially be in his position to do his work, to take away the sin of the world. Coming to question number 6, why does the Bible record so many adult baptisms? Well, keep in mind, when baptism began, no adults had been baptized. There was, yes, various washings, but there was no baptizing in the name of God for the forgiveness of sins until that time. If I would ask any of you and say, well, hey, back in the 60s, like the kids today, back in the 60s, why didn't you have a cell phone back then? Who can tell me why you didn't have a cell phone back in the 60s? Okay, they hadn't been invented yet. So you can't have one if they haven't been invented. So up until the time when John begins baptizing, Why weren't the adults baptized already? Well, there was no such thing as adult baptism back then. There was no baptism. God had not yet commanded it. So now the Bible is recording all these adults being baptized. In a sense, what we could say is they were catching up. So when God puts something new in, now people are catching up with this. That's what was going on back at that time. God put John in a very unusual place out in the wilderness. But people heard things about John. Hey, this guy is different. You got to see how he's dressed. You got to see what he's eating. You've got to experience this. You need to go out there. Well, some people estimate that maybe 250,000 people traveled out to hear John preaching in the wilderness. And when they went out, maybe it's a little bit like going from the homes that we live in to living in a tent. Like your whole mindset changes. You don't have the conveniences of being at home anymore. Now you're in a different place. Now you're more open to hear what was being said. That's what was going on when John was preaching there in the wilderness. And as John was preaching the word of God, who was at work? The Holy Spirit was at work in order to convict people of their sins. And then having been convicted of their sins, now they're getting in line to see John. And when they got to the front of the line, they were confessing their sins. And then John was baptizing them for the forgiveness of sins. Well, I've only dealt with adults so far. What about infants? What about young children? Well, when I look at the Bible, I'm not really seeing them mentioned until we come to the day of Pentecost, 50 days after God the Father raised his Son from the dead. So on that day, regarding the forgiveness that God imparts through holy baptism, this is what Peter said to the crowd on that day. He said, the promise of forgiveness through baptism is for you and your children. I don't believe the Bible mentions that reality before that time. But keep in mind, though, there was this period from when John started baptizing until we come to the day of Pentecost. We're probably talking approximately 4 years. So during this four-year period of time, yes, a lot of adults were baptized. And now coming to the day of Pentecost, it's kind of opening up in a sense, and Peter is saying, hey, this great blessing that God is giving to you adults, hey, it's also for your children. The Bible is clear that all of us have sin right from the beginning. What did King David say about himself there in Psalm 51? He said, I was sinful from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. So right from the very beginning of life, when we were microscopic in size, inside of our mothers, we had sin already. So through baptism, God is taking care of the problem of sin. So that should be done as soon as possible. Even though today some people never get baptized and other people are waiting and waiting and maybe even waiting for their children to make that decision. I mean, if you put before your children and say, well, what do you want for dinner tonight? Do you want to eat this quart of ice cream or do you want to have meat and potatoes and 3 servings of vegetables? They're probably going to pick the ice cream. But we have to realize that parents have decisions to make that are important for their children. Coming to question 7 then, why was Jesus baptized? I've kind of said this already in part. But the Son of God, what happened at the right moment? God the Father sent him from heaven to earth to put on human flesh. And then on the 8th day, just as God commanded in the Old Testament, on the 8th day, he was circumcised. On that same day, that is when he was given the name Jesus. What does his name mean? The Lord saves. And then, like I mentioned already, he was baptized by John. But what could we say about that, though? When he was baptized by John, when he stepped up to be baptized, he was indicating his willingness to bear the sins of the world and also the eternal punishment of the entire world. That is why he came, but he's not being forced to do that. He is willingly stepping forward and saying, I know now is the time. I know the will of my Father in heaven. I'm here to do what he sent me to do. And then when Jesus stepped up to John, there was a little conversation there, and John is like, oh, Jesus, you should be baptizing me, not me baptizing you. What did Jesus say to John? He said, permit my baptism at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. What does that mean? It's a little bit difficult, but I understand it this way. Now, God, at that time, God was calling all sinners to hear his word, hear what John was preaching, to be open to the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives, to repent of their sins, and to be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. God was calling all people to do that. So Jesus, he is our perfect substitute. So because God was calling everyone to do that, Jesus is going to do that too. Now, was he baptized for the forgiveness of his sins? He wasn't. He had no sin. The Bible says that he was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he remained without sin. So he was not baptized for that reason, but his baptism in approaching John, he was saying, I'm here, I'm ready to take away the sin of the world. Praise God for that. One final question today, let's go to number 8. What did Jesus command regarding baptism? So we come to his famous words there in Matthew chapter 28. Keep in mind, he said these words sometime between God the Father raising him from the dead, but before he ascended into heaven. So Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Now we're very familiar with these words, but let me point out something important here. What do we have going on in many Christian churches today? They are taking people and teaching them, and that's a good thing, teaching them, and then after they teach them, then they are baptizing them. Did you notice the order that we have here? Jesus said, baptize them, and then teach them. What is that pointing to? I believe it's pointing to baptize them when they are extremely young, like circumcision was on the 8th day. I'm going to share with you next week a connection between circumcision and baptism. So I think Jesus is saying baptize when they are very young, and then take every opportunity as they are growing older to teach the children what God has done for them in baptism, the great gifts that God has given them in their baptism, so that they always continue then in Jesus Christ. So it might sound like double talk in a sense. A lot of people look at the Bible and they're like, look at all these adults are being baptized, so they follow that practice. They're like, well, let's wait till they're older, let's baptize them then. I think we have a special situation there when God calls John to begin baptizing. And yes, for about 4 years, a lot of adults were baptized. However, though, like I said, on the day of Pentecost, then Peter is making it clear, this is also for your children. And then shortly before Pentecost, before Jesus ascended into heaven, which was only 10 days before Pentecost, that's when he said, let me set out the order here. I want you to baptize first, and then I want you to teach second. That's what we're following in the Lutheran Church, and I'll come to it more in the future in this series, but I want you to see how God is the one at work in baptism. God is doing things in baptism that no human being can do. So baptism is not just something that we are doing, trying to say that we believe in Jesus and we are Christians, but baptism is something that God is doing in order to clothe us with Christ, in order to forgive our sins, in order to give us the gift of eternal life, in order to make us alive in Christ, in order to give the Holy Spirit to live within us. So the Bible is teaching those things, even though many are believing something else. I hope what I said today has been beneficial so far, but we're going to come to a lot more important things. You have the list of questions. I'm not sharing the new brochure today, so I want you to come back next week and hear part two on the brochure, and I'll give you a copy of it next week. Then I'm hoping you'll come the third week so I can give you some additional information that's also in the brochure on the topic of holy baptism. With that said, for today, let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for sending your Son. And then thank you that through baptism, you connected us, you clothed us, you gave to us the great benefits, the eternal benefits that Jesus won for us with his perfect living and sacrificial dying and glorious resurrection. Help us to realize what your word says, to always embrace it to be true. And if anyone else out there in the world would hear this sermon, we pray that they would think about what your word is saying and believe it. And let us put aside common sense. Let us embrace your word, knowing it is always true. Thank you, dear Father, for giving us the great gift of forgiveness and membership in your family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.